the 37th Psalm. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bowels shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. So we'll now call upon Brother Ernie Glass to exhort us on trust in God.
Thank you, Brother Bill. Good morning, brothers and sisters and friends. Sure it's good to be with you here at the Kentucky Bible School. My sister and my wife have eagerly been looking forward to spending this week with you, and at this time I'd like to express my thanks to the brothers and sisters of Kentucky in putting forth the effort and the time and expense to prepare and organize and implement such a school as this. My wife and I certainly appreciate this, and we love you for it. I would also at this time like to that I, my wife and I also would bring the love and the best wishes of all the brothers and sisters in Arkansas. Brothers and sisters, we must, during the days of our probation, trust in the Lord and do His will in spite of disappointments, sufferings, and adversity. And if we do this, if we trust in the Lord and we do His will, it is the best way to live. We have the disappointments of life can be shattering to those whose interests are completely devoted to material things. And I want you to store that word devoted in your mind. D-E-V-O-T-E-D. Store that in your mind. Devoted. And the definition that I want you to keep in your mind is to be strongly attached. Devoted. The disappointments of life can be shattering to those whose interests are completely devoted to material things. The desired job is given to another. The venture plan has been thwarted. The occasion looked forward to has brought only disillusionment. The disappointments of life are many and may vary in degree from missing a bus to losing a fortune. And their effects on people vary enormously, depending upon the character that these people possess. One person may accept frustration as a challenge, faces it squarely, and starts all over again with a new outlook. Another is intimidated and removes himself from the possibility of a similar setback in the future. Another person will harbor a deep and bitter resentment against life, while with some, repeated disappointments seem to strengthen them. And there are people, men and women, just like us, that rise above the disappointments of life. We're going to have disappointments. That is fact. We've got to face them. Should be found of the Lord Jesus Christ. We, you and I, brothers and sisters, hold certain convictions which are based upon our complete trust in God and His Word. Our complete trust in God and His Word. Brothers and sisters, we must trust God. We must do His will, even though there are many disappointments, there is much suffering, and there is a lot of adversity. If disappointments are suffered due to the misconduct of our associates, we should remember what the Word says. Put not your trust in princes nor in any child of man, for there is no help in them. This is not an injunction to distrust one's neighbor, but a warning against the weakness of human nature. The tendency to put those who we love and respect upon a pedestal, we don't need to do that. Because when this man or woman, when they fall to ordinary levels, it becomes very troubling to us. We have a difficult time handling this unless we're students of the Word of God. And then we understand why these men and women have failings. The true child of God shows a generosity of heart that forgives and forgets. He continues to love the offender, as the Scriptures state, "Father, forgive them." And this is two important words here. "For they know not what they do." They know not what they do. And we'll get back to this a little bit later. If disappointments come through circumstance, if these are long and keen, if it seems that the sufferer has been denied gifts that others about him enjoy, the faithful one keeps his balance, for he knows the Word says, and we heard that in Psalms 37 this morning, and in the beautiful hymn that our sister Love picked out. We know that the Word says, "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." If the Lord withholds things from us, then he knows that the things denied may not have been for our ultimate good. God shall supply all our needs. Trust in the Lord. He shall supply all that you and I need. But we've got to trust him. And the passing of years shows this to be true. Those who have experienced God's guiding hand in their lives may well exhort the young to wait patiently for him. The sad thing about it is, a lot of times we can't get these young people to slow down long enough to tell them this, to wait patiently on the Lord. But as years passed, as time passed, that which is one's desire in youth is not necessarily the same as one's desire in middle age or later life. And by then, the wisdom of God's withholding becomes evident. So no matter what age or what we're going through, we've got to trust in God and continue to do His will, whether we're healthy or not, whether we're happy or not. That's a fact. We've got to face it, and we have to do it. It is a fact that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Herein is contained a wealth of divine comfort and assurance to any righteous one who finds himself forlorn in this life from any cause, whether from loneliness, bereavement, or ill health. The faithful one submits to God's will and renders praise and submission, such as that expressed by David. Search me, try my heart, know my thoughts, lead me in the way everlasting. I want you to keep that word, the way, in your mind, the way. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. We heard this quite a few times in that Psalms 37 that Brother Bill read this morning. Now, we must trust in God and do his will through suffering, through disappointment, through adversity. There is a blessing now and a greater blessing in the near future for those who keep his way. Wait on the Lord. Keep his way. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, this is Jesus Christ speaking, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. Now, this is a blessing that we can have now, and it's certainly a future eternal blessing if we're successful in our probationary life. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of God, loved of my Father, and I will love him. To comprehend what all is involved there, it's wonderful and it's beautiful and it's encouraging. There are many relations in life that require moderate degrees of devotion. You remember that word devotion that I asked you to keep in your mind? To be strongly attached. Our problem is we're usually strongly attached to all the wrong things. We may have really pleasant friendships with one another and yet spend a large part of our lives in separate interests and widely differing pursuits. A certain degree of reserve and distance seems to be the suitable thing in such relationships as these. But there are other relations in life where all this is changed. The friendship becomes love. Two hearts give themselves to each other, to be no longer two, but one, one. A union takes place, which makes all that belongs to one the property of the other. Now, this is a fact that this takes place. It takes place between a man and his wife, and a wife and her husband. It takes place between a father and a mother and their children. This takes place between brothers and sisters. This does happen. A union takes place which all that belongs to one, the property of the other. Separate interests and separate paths in life are no longer possible. Love gives all and must have all in return. Do such of these chafe under this yoke which love imposes? Do they envy the cool, calm, reasonable friendships they see around them and regret the nearness, and think about your brothers and sisters, the nearness into which they are brought to their beloved ones because of the obligations it creates. Do they not rather glory in these very obligations? To serve and sacrifice for God, for Jesus Christ, and for our brothers and sisters. Is it possible for us, you and I, to do this? Yes, brothers and sisters, it is. It's a fact. It's happened before. There's examples of it all through the Scripture. And you meet brothers and sisters in your ecclesia that do this. Do they not glory in these obligations? There's glory and there's honor and there's joy to these things. Are not the wishes of the loved one a fresh delight and privilege? And is any path found hard which their love compels them to travel? If we have ever known this, if we have ever loved any of our fellow human beings enough to find sacrifice and service on their behalf a joy, if abandonment of our will to the will of another has ever gleamed across us as a long-for privilege, as a sweet and precious reality, then I entreat you to let it be so towards Christ. He loves you with more than the love of friendship. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so does he rejoice over you. Now this is true. Do you remember that verse I just read? He that hath my commandments and keepeth him, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. He makes this offer of union with himself to every believer. But all do not say yes to him. Now listen to this. You remember that word devotion that I talked about? Other loves and other interests seem too precious to be cast aside. Humans have a tendency to put these other loves and other interests before God and Jesus. Why does men and women do this? Why do these other loves and these other interests seem so precious? In Psalms 37, it talked about the wise person. The reason that people put other interests and other loves before Christ is this. Such people are deceived. That's another word you need to keep in your mind. Such people are deceived by the sin principle within them. That's why they put other loves and other interests before Jesus Christ. We are deceived by the sin principle within us. This is sad. This is tragic. And there's something else that goes along with it. It's guaranteed death. If you put other interests and other loves before God and Jesus Christ, it's guaranteed death. And it's a sad and it's a tragic thing. And we're going to be spending some time this next 5 days looking at this deceiver, this sin principle within us. And when you grasp this principle, I hope it's caused me to have greater compassion for the people of the world and for brothers and sisters who fail. This sin principle is hard to deal with. It's a difficult thing because it's a deceiver. It deceives us into doing those things which we should not do. Other loves and other interests seem to be too precious. They're really not. They seem to be too precious to be cast aside. We do other things rather than trusting in God and doing His will. Because of this, we can miss an unspeakable present joy. You, however, are not one of these. You are ready to pour out upon God and Jesus your love and your devotedness. Are you strongly attached to God, Jesus, and His Word? If you're not, or if I'm not, we're going to have trouble with these other interests and these other loves. Your love makes necessary a separation from the world. Sacrifice and service are possible and can become a joy. Your service and sacrifice are possible and it can become a joy. Let your heart and hand be free to serve Him as His heart and hand were to serve you. Let Him have all there is of you, body, mind, talent, voice, everything. Lay your whole life open before Him that He may control it. Do not measure your obedience or your service. We have a tendency to measure what we're going to do. Jesus Himself said, "Blessed are they which hear the word of God and keep it." If we are to be associated with Jesus and the glorious band that constitute the kingdom of God, we must distinguish ourselves by the present and actual performance of His commandments. And if we study the Bible as being such people, trusted God and did His will. And what about Daniel? What about Daniel? Let's think about him for just a minute. We're not specifically informed of the age of Daniel when he was taken captive, but it's indicated that he was very... Accepting that premise, the following, he provides an example that believers of all ages can emulate. Teenagers, mature men, or those of old age can be inspired to acts of faith before God and man by the actions and the attitude of Daniel. And just listen to these things. As a boy of 17, we think it was 17, he resisted the demands of the king and the influence of Babylon. If Daniel could do it, why can't the young people today? Some of them are. Think about that. As a teenager of 19, he put his confidence in God. He trusted in God and appeared before the king to interpret his dream. As a young man of 20, his discretion and wisdom were acknowledged by the king. As a mature man of approximately 50, he fearlessly urged Nebuchadnezzar to change his ways. He was still doing. We can do it, brothers and sisters, and young people and friends of the truth. At the age of 67, he received the vision of the four beasts. At 70, he was given the vision of the ram and the he-goat. As an old man of 87, he stood before Belshazzar and fearlessly warned him of the consequences of his disregard of the things of God. At 88, he received the vision of the 70 weeks. And listen to this. At 89, he exhibited supreme faith by refusing to limit his devotions to Yahweh at the decree of Darius and was consigned to the den of lions. At 90, he received the vision of the man of the one and enacted his own death and resurrection. And before his death, he received promise that he will yet stand in his lot at the end of the appointed time. Now just think about those things. That man really accomplished a lot. And he was a man. He was a human being. We're men. At every stage of his life, he showed a consistent faith towards his God and courage in the performance of his duty, providing an outstanding example for all to emulate. Now, Daniel did something else, and I didn't realize it. I found this in the writings of H.P. Mansfield. There was a lot of miracles back in the time of Daniel, and the greatest miracle was not the saving of Daniel's friends from the fire, nor the closing of the mouths of lions, nor the revealing of dreams and visions to kings and temporaries, but something more important than all these. We refer to the change that gradually came over the Jewish captives in Babylon. They went in exile, hopeless addicts to idolatry, and they returned from their captivity converted into a people that who? They believed again in the one true God of Israel. That's what happened. And this was a tremendous change. It indicates the truth of Jeremiah's words that they were the good figs that were taken into captivity, and what they suffered was for their good. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to say this again. Whether it's disappointments, frustration, suffering, or adversity, we've got to continue to trust in God and do His will. And there's a lot of benefits. It's not such a bad life. It's the best life. They suffered these things for their good. And it also witnesses something else. The tremendous good influence of Ezekiel and Daniel. The faithful actions of these prophets, these leaders, their unflinching courage, and their faithful ministrations to the people, listen to this, gradually altered their whole attitude towards God, the faith of these individuals. Think about your obligations. We need to think about our obligations to our brothers and sisters. And our example, your example and my example, may help another brothers and sisters. 70 years after the captivity began, the exiles were so changed in their spiritual attitude and so motivated by the truth as to be ready to return and rebuild the temple and the nations. What caused this change? Obviously, the miracles recorded in the book of Daniel, plus the example and teachings of both prophets. They were well known to the people. And they demonstrated to them at long last the value of worshiping Yahweh in truth. Paul taught that no man liveth unto himself. The influence of individuals for good or ill can be profound. It was so in the case of Daniel. He lived in times similar to the present. He saw historic Babylon develop mightily in the earth. And as believers today see mystical Babylon doing likewise, he lived in an age of miracles, and believers today see the Middle East miraculously vindicating Bible prophecy. His example and teaching helped prepare a people for the restoration under Cyrus. Today, humble believers can attempt a similar work as they await the appearance of the antitypical Cyrus, the Lord Jesus Christ. The influence of Daniel can extend to these times, influencing those who study his words, reproducing his faith in them, that they may be with him when he stands in his lot at the end of the days. If we are to be associated with Jesus and the glorious band that constitute the kingdom of God, we must distinguish ourselves by the present and actual performance of his commandments. We must trust God, and we must do his will no matter what. And some people are always more or less regretting the time in which their lot is cast. There is another side to this. The evil times bring with them our opportunity to do his will. And we must make up our minds to the things that are required. We must make up our minds to the self-denial. And this is something that we certainly need to do in 1990, in the 90s. We must make up our minds to forego many things that are in themselves legitimate, but they're hindrances in the race. We must lay aside every weight, giving all diligence to make our calling and election sure. Let us seek out and perform the Master's will in all things and occupy ourselves in the execution of it. Trust in God and do his will. Now, some are probably saying, well, Ernie's given another one of those love talks, another one of those walk talks. Well, this love and this devotedness that I'm talking about can actually develop in men and women when they comprehend these scriptural doctrines. The love and devotedness that I am talking about can actually develop in men and women when they comprehend these spiritual doctrines. And when you comprehend these doctrines, which I'm fixing to list, it compels you to implement them in your life. And these provisions, these doctrines and provisions work. They work out my salvation, and they'll work out your salvation. Through disobedience of God's commandments, our first parents brought sin and death upon themselves, and the propensity to sin upon us. We have no power to remedy this, and therefore, but for some act of God, we should be doomed with the rest of men to die and decay. Moreover, because of the corruption of our lives, we cannot of ourselves approach to God. But listen to this. Yet God, and here's this word, love talks. God in His love has been pleased to make possible our approach to Him, our salvation from sin, and our redemption from death. He foretold this through the words of His prophets, anticipated it in the provisions of sacrifice and mediation among the Jews. In the fullness of times, Jesus came, the Son of God by the operation of the Spirit, of man by Mary His mother, and under the same inclinations to self-seeking as ourselves, He not only lived spotlessly, but sought the will of God unfailingly throughout His life and fulfilled it in His death. By this means, He displayed before men both the course which the Father has taken for our salvation and the kind of life with which God is well pleased. Righteousness having been displayed, and this is an important doctrine or principle here, the just condemnation of sin and flesh shone forth, Jesus was justly exalted to everlasting life and glorified at the right hand of God. Because of what He did, God is pleased upon our recognition of it. God is pleased upon our recognition of what He has done to admit us to the hope of life. This we do in repentance, which means turning away from our former self-directed lives and renouncing their allegiance to sin and turning towards God in trust. Trust God and do His will. A lot of times we make it hard with all these words. We have so many words. Trust God and do His will. We signify this by obeying His command to be baptized, which is therefore fittingly presented as the death of an old man, the servant of sin, and the resurrection of a new, the servant of God. We must then put away our old manner of life, continually recalling in the breaking of bread how we are redeemed. We must continually remember this. And this compels us. What God has done and what Christ has done, if we understand these things, it compels us to trust in Him and to do His will. And by patience, continuance in well-doing, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Another important principle. Keeping in mind how weak we are after baptism, God is ready to be approached through Jesus for forgiveness of our unwilling sins and grace to help in time of need. Our hope lies in the resurrection of Jesus. As God, on the account of the work He did, raised Him to everlasting glory, so will He, at His return, accomplish the resurrection of His brothers and sisters and cause the faithful, those who trust in God and do His will, among them to share His glory in the kingdom He will establish. Brothers and sisters and friends, the more we understand about what we believe, the stronger is our faith. And that's why we are here this week. to strive to understand more fully what we believe. Thank you.